On today's episode of the Natty Boys podcast, our football talk includes an alarming Marvin Lewis update. We're all pretty sad for Chris Pratt and Nana Faris. We get into the Little League World Series and have a Reds update, and close out the episode with a fantasy draft of our favorite pro team's jerseys. Enjoy the episode.
You're listening to the Natty Boys podcast, presented by Mill Iron Sports.
Welcome to the Natty Boys podcast. Today is Thursday, August 10th, and Marvin Lewis is dead.
Well, he did get carted off the field. Is he dead?
I assume. There's so many different diagnoses, so many D words going around Marvin Lewis's health right now. It's hard to say exactly what he has. We've heard cyst in the knee, cyst in the ankle, blood clot, toenail cancer. We've heard it all.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it's anything too serious. No. Our Columbus Blue Jackets friends would just call it a lower body injury. I don't think he'll be out for too long. I wouldn't be surprised if he's on the sideline or maybe up in the booth for the Friday night preseason game.
Yeah. When I heard he was having issues, I thought, okay, I hope it's not something with his spine. And then I realized that that couldn't be an issue for the same reason I'll never get ovarian cancer. So
it was just crazy to get an alert on my phone for Marvin Lewis out with an injury and being carted off the field. That was kind of strange. And I think they cart people off for anything, really, in training camp is what it kind of sounds like.
Yeah. Reading Bengals Twitter today, he was on like a mobile cart most of the day yesterday, and he was on it today again, just riding around, watching practice, and then I guess he decided the pain was too much, and so he left on the cart. So, I mean, he's been driving around in the cart for two days now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, the question I have is, now that the NFL no longer uses probable on their injury report, does he even show up on the report on Friday for the preseason game? Is he go as questionable?
Questionable.
Or what's the status going to be?
I think he's questionable.
Maybe questionable, yeah.
That would also be
decision-making is questionable.
If anybody's coach was going to get hurt this year, you'd think it would have been Harbaugh out in Baltimore, the way that they're dealing with injuries. But
if
Marvin's the only major camp injury we have, then I think we'll survive.
Yes.
Hopefully. Well, if Marvin can't make it, maybe Johnny Manziel can coach the Bengals.
Yeah, I'd rather die.
Yeah.
I don't understand where he's coming from. I didn't see how this even happened. If somebody said, hey, is coaching something you'd be interested in? Or if he flat out just came out and said, hey, I think I might want to give coaching a shot. Either way, I think it's a bad idea that he's in charge of anyone else's football career.
Yeah. So.
Him and Pac-Man, dude. Head coach and assistant coach.
He can't even manage his own life. I find it hard that he would be able to manage anybody on the football field. Hopefully, you know, his head's in the right spot where he wants to get back into football some way, and he knows that his career is over. So maybe if he can get his life back together and he starts at the lower levels, you never know.
Yeah.
He can coach my fantasy team for me.
Ooh, that's a lot of responsibility. That's $50, man.
You think he's going to be dried out enough by noon on Sunday to lock in your lineup?
I'm counting on him not be. I trust him more when he's not sober. So
that's true. Well, I mean, someone who probably has a little more time to play fantasy this year, Vince Wilfork, officially announced his retirement. I think everyone assumed he was going to retire no matter what. The only thing that was in question was, he's so fat and he doesn't really take care of himself as far as staying in shape. Was this just his way to get out of training camp? That was what some people were talking about, was do you just say you're not sure about playing and then sign with somebody when there's a week 3 injury? But that sounds like he is retired.
That's been Big Ben's excuse, right? He just doesn't want to. Yeah. He doesn't want to stay in shape, so he's like, "I might retire.
I might retire." Just like diet starts Monday, he's like, "Well, if I'm going to retire, then I might as well eat this."
Yeah,
if I'm going to retire. I don't have to do the player personnel conduct policy, so maybe I'll see what's going on in this bathroom over here.
Vince Wilfork went out in a very Vince Wilfork way too. Yeah. In a video that he released. Basically, he says he's going to retire the cleats and smoke some meats.
Yeah. he was wearing bib overalls too, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. He was dancing in nothing but overalls. He didn't have a shirt on or anything underneath. And they were pretty tight on the butt. Yeah. I mean,
sure.
He was looking good.
Yeah. Whenever I retire, I envision myself having something to do with smoked meats. So that's the way to go, I think.
Yeah, I think he's definitely doing it right. The video actually at the end of it said that they were going to have like a tailgate party before one of the Patriots games where he was going to be there and signing autographs and stuff.
That's pretty cool.
I think it's a pretty cool way to go out. I don't like the Patriots or have any affection for Vince Wilfork, but I thought it was a pretty cool video that we saw.
Yeah.
Speaking of Patriot talk.
Yeah, with extremely hot wives. Yeah. Tom Brady. Tom Brady, he's married to a horse, so I guess that transition doesn't work. But
wait, what?
Giselle walks into a bar. Bartender says, "Why the long face?" No, but Tom Brady is in camp, and he's finally having to answer some questions about the concussion that Giselle reported to one of those magazines. I don't even remember who it was, saying that she believed he had had multiple concussions throughout the last year or so.
Right.
And Tom Brady answered it in the most Tom Brady way. DB, exactly what did he say?
He was kind of like, it's not really any of your business.
Yeah.
When the reporter asked him about it.
Yeah.
And that you're right. That is 100% a Tom Brady answer. Yeah. And he's wrong. It is our business. Like we get...
I would say, as a member of the media, yeah. I feel offended by that statement. It is exactly our business to know.
Yeah.
And sports
lines will move on. Like, you know, this is a billion-dollar industry, the betting industry that has to do with these injury reports. And if something's not getting reported, then that's going to move a line one way or another if people know about it and it doesn't get reported. I don't think it's that big of a deal. I think that players get concussions all the time without telling people or without being diagnosed, which is still a huge problem. But the way that he acts about it is what really the story is how it's bugging everybody.
Maybe he doesn't remember.
He might not. He might not remember at all. And that's how I like to see somebody do it. I don't know if anyone will or if anyone already has, but I'd be interested to see if Tom Brady had been reported with a concussion-like symptoms rating or whatever they do on game day, but still cleared to play, what the Vegas lines would have looked like and how that would have shifted the money on some of the on some of the people that were taking the points.
I think it's a big deal that If he really did have concussions, that he didn't show up on any injury report for the Patriots.
Yeah.
And maybe this is the Patriots just hiding more information. Mm-hmm. Like, they always find some way around.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like the Patriots to me. I think they try and do everything above board. So,
right,
Maybe they just forgot to report it, or maybe they mailed in the report and it got lost in the mail. So, I mean, plenty of things could happen when transmitting information, so... I'd be willing to bet that there's nothing intentional there.
Just ask the Cardinals. Things happen when you're getting on the internet. So
exactly. Yeah, ask the Cardinals or my 14-year-old self trying to explain something to my parents. Yeah, things just happen. I don't know.
Yeah.
Speaking of people that may have cheated, Chris Pratt and Anna Faris are Splitsville. And I hate to be one of these people that's like, oh man, this really makes me sad, because in the end it's a celebrity relationship, but I really like just seeing them interact with each other, even though it was on the red carpet, seeing them interact with each other was pretty cool to see that it seemed like they genuinely liked and loved each other at the time. And it's sad.
And I feel bad for Anna Faris in this because she lost a fan in Mac myself.
Oh, yeah?
I wasn't real big on Anna Faris to begin with. She was okay. I didn't dislike her. but I wasn't a huge fan of hers. But her being with Chris Pratt made me realize, okay, she's probably pretty cool because Chris Pratt seems pretty cool.
Right.
So now I'm kind of like, well, what the hell did Anna do? Like,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Andy Dwyer didn't do anything stupid. So it had to have been Anna.
It's been weird to like see Chris Pratt grow from Parks and Rec to like the super huge megastar that he is now.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that that's probably something that had to do with it.
Yeah.
Is
for sure.
Him being out and, you know, filming movies for 8 months out of the year, being away from his family.
Maybe but, Anna Faris rear-ended somebody's manager wearing nothing but a towel. For all you Entourage fans
possible.
Out there. So.
I miss that show.
Yeah.
But the, you know, Anna Faris, she does play like some kooky, like small part characters that are awesome and stuff. I don't watch her new show now. I think it's called Moms or something like
that. Yeah, I've never seen that.
I don't watch it. Some of my coworkers watch it and say it's pretty funny. But like her character in Just Friends is probably one of the best like small bit characters that I've ever seen in a movie.
And I will agree with that 100%. If anybody out there is looking to dive deep into the Anna Faris obscure characters, her character in Observe and Report is
another good one.
Incredible too. It's very similar to the Just Friends, but more so in Observe and Report, she thinks she's this mega hot, everybody wants a piece of her person, whereas in Just Friends, she literally is. So it's funny to see on Observe and Report the dynamic between the two characters is funny.
Yeah, all I know is if those two kids can't make it, then what hope do any of us have?
It's true.
It's true.
And we say this as people that have no idea what their home life is like.
Well, speaking of people that probably have two Christmases, the Little League World Series is going on right now. I'm just saying the divorce rate's higher than it's ever been.
It's true.
Chances are a lot of these kids are a product of a split family. It's nothing against them. I'm looking down on their parents, but it's nothing against the kids.
So this week, with the Little League World Series going on, there have been some screen grabs from the games that have gone viral, and I wanted to read a couple of them to you and just get your immediate reactions. I have three of them that I found pretty funny. All of them. Got a kid by the name of Cooper Hamblin says that his favorite athlete is himself.
Sounds like something a kid named Cooper would say.
Yeah,
it's definitely a Cooper move.
That's
a little Jefe.
Yeah.
Is he fat?
No, that's the next kid. Jeffrey Powell, nicknamed Boog, is 5'2", 220 pounds.
Jesus.
Damn. Yeah, I mean, he's that's a big 12-year-old.
That's a bowling ball.
that's a big adult.
Yeah. I mean, he's only 5'2", though, so, I mean, he's all gut. Like, I mean, I'm not trying to make fun of the kid, obviously, but he there's a reason that he went viral, and I think it's because his nickname's Boog.
You better hope he doesn't hear this or he's going to kick your ass.
You're right. Yeah. He probably could.
Two Christmases doesn't mean two Christmas hams every year either, buddy.
The last one I got for you is Leo Randazzo. And his fun fact was that he looks at memes before games for good luck.
I hate this world that we live in these days.
Yeah. So those were the things that made me laugh when I think about the Little League World Series when I saw that stuff this weekend.
I think it is interesting. See, I haven't really paid much attention to the World Series, Little League World Series lately, but I do love the little player bios that they get because they have some of the most interesting things in there because kids. I mean, the shit that they say sometimes, it's just like, I wonder what's going on inside your head. So I always enjoy seeing their little favorite athletes or their weird quirks about themselves that they throw in their bios. I think half the time it's just made up by the ESPN or whoever's putting on the actual broadcast. But
right.
Lots of Mike Trout and Bryce Harper, favorite players.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One underrated aspect of the Little League World Series is watching the kids cry.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was going to say. Get, especially, I like to see the coach that gets so fired up and yells at the kids and makes yeah. them cry.
Especially when it's the coach's son or coach's dad going out to talk to the kid on the mound yeah. that's his son. And mm-hmm. you can tell his demeanor. He's basically like, you little fucker, you better not screw this up.
Yeah, like you know that he wouldn't talk to a kid that wasn't his son like yeah. that.
They're like, hey, come on, yeah. buddy, you can do this. Like, pat him on the back. All right, let's go, team. Yeah. And they like rally and they got their khaki shorts on and
yeah. I'm having Oof. Visions of my dad screaming at me in Little League basketball when I'm running down the court and I just hear his voice getting so hoarse he's yelling at me so much.
I'm surprised with as competitive as it is you don't see more blow ups since it's most of it's live. You'd think you'd see more parent blow ups or like Mac was saying, the coaches. Like, you know, the dad that's the coach blowing up yeah. on the player.
They don't put up with that in the Little League, whatever yeah. the managing body is. They,
nah.
That's why you see kids, they're not, anytime they start to show up the ump or anytime they start to pout on the way back to the dugout, they get yelled at right away. So they squash that pretty quick.
Yeah. I wish we could see some of the, you know, the real Little League where you've got the kid in right field playing with his transformers in the grass, not paying yeah. attention or
yeah. Looking at clouds.
Yeah, stealing each other's hats or trying to put gum on top yeah. of each other's hats or something.
I think worse than finding out Santa Claus wasn't real was the day I found out that. I'm sorry. Sorry for all of our 8-year-old listeners.
You got to give a little bit more warning than that.
Parents,
get your kids out of the room.
Was when I found out that a majority of these Little League World Series teams are just all-star teams from their own leagues. They're not necessarily the same kids that have been playing together all season long. Yeah. Which I feel like we're being fed a bunch of lies by saying that these are teams and they're exactly what I don't think LeBron watches the Little League World Series because he hates super teams.
That's what I was going to say. This is the original super team, and I'm frankly sick of it. Are super teams bad for the Little League World Series? Let's get that debate.
I don't know.
Is there parody in the?
Let's look at the facts.
Did you guys know that Todd Frazier was a Little League World Series champion?
I don't think I've ever heard that.
And he met Derek Jeter once.
That's never been mentioned before.
Wow. Did he put Tom's River on the map?
So, sticking with the Reds, David Letterman was courtside? Nope.
Ringside.
Yeah, ringside at the most recent Reds game in the Diamond Seats. Jim Day sat down with him for a little interview, and he's still got it, even though he's probably 70.
Yeah, he's old.
Yeah,
well, a guy like that, I mean, that's you know, he. I don't think he ever loses that personality. That's just who he is.
So right.
I think it's not something he has to turn off or on. I think it's just on.
Yeah, and I've always, as far as famous Reds fans go, he flies under the radar because we've got people like Charlie Sheen and Rob Lowe and a bunch of other weird people or megastar type guys and Clooney, guys right. that are big Reds fans. But Dave Letterman's always been a vocal Reds fan, and this was kind of surprising. It's the first time he's been to Great American Ballpark, he said.
Right. Yeah, it's been open for 14 or 15 years now.
I guess he was always filming the show. Sure. And when he did go back, he was staying with his mom in Indiana. It wasn't necessarily touring the Midwest. It was fly in and out of his hometown.
Yeah, and I don't think I actually realized that he was a Reds fan.
Yeah.
So this was news to me, seeing that.
You could tell that his fandom was genuine because he was talking about like players and announcers from the 70s. Like he brought up like Al Michaels and Nuxall doing games together, and then like their routines after the games were over. Nuxall would go eat like a thing of Cracker Barrel cheese every single night, like one of those big bricks of cheese. Yeah. I mean, it was pretty interesting to see that. I like Letterman. I wasn't ever a Letterman guy, though. Like, he wasn't the one that I would watch at night when I was a kid. I would always stay up and watch Conan. So I think Letterman is hilarious, and I like him over Leno, but I was always a Conan guy growing up.
I might take some flack for this, but I watched Leno.
Yeah, I mean, I watched Leno, and then I watched Conan, but I always enjoyed Conan more than Leno.
I used to always catch Letterman after the Monday Night Football games. I forget what channel he was on, but I feel like I always...
He's always been on CBS, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Letterman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I remember I would always get yelled at because Letterman would kick on, and I would already be getting yelled at because the game was running late, and then my mom would be like, "Are you watching Letterman? Go to bed." So, yeah, I remember.
You tell her shut the hell up because you're 28 years old and she can't tell you what to do.
Yeah. We were a Letterman household. I lived for his top 10.
Yeah,
yeah, oh, I did God, like the top, yeah,
the
10.
Top 10.
And he always seemed to have fun things to do with his guests. Like, whereas most of the other late night shows were just kind of, okay, let's hear what you have to say, talk about what you need to talk about. But he had so many recurring guests and longstanding friends on that had become friends from being guests. Very enjoyable to watch for me. And
I just used to like seeing where his cards would land when he would throw them.
Yeah.
And I'm excited. I just saw today as well that Netflix has Letterman. I don't know. We haven't really seen the format yet, but Letterman's doing something with Netflix for some sort of talk show. So,
yeah, it'll be interesting to see the format of that. Like you said, because it's interesting because talk shows, they're pretty topical. So,
yeah,
you know, watching a talk show from 3 or 4 weeks ago, I mean, you could get some jokes out of it, but a lot of the content just not going to be relevant. So right. I don't know if, you know, I don't think people consume Netflix like that where they're watching it on a regular schedule. I think Netflix is more of a, you know, either for binging or just for kind of going in every once in a while when you're bored. So I'll be interested to see how that works out.
Yeah. And I hope that it doesn't go off brand. I hope it doesn't become a political thing. Like you've seen some comedians after they retire. Yeah. If I were a betting man, which I am, I would say it's going to be some variation of Seinfeld's cars, comedians and cars comedians getting and coffee. Cars.
Yeah.
Not that they're going to be driving around in a car getting coffee, but I think it's going to be something like that where Letterman either goes off site and spends a day with somebody, or Letterman has somebody come into his special like studio or whatever, and they do just kind of a behind the curtain, the look of the real side of somebody, like they do with Seinfeld.
I'm gonna veer off here for a second and bitch about something that Mac had brought up before we began recording, and it's that Disney is going to be starting their own streaming service and pulling all of their stuff off Netflix. Disney's doing it. Fox did it with Futurama.
Yep,
they pulled all their stuff
and Bob's Burgers.
And Bob's Burgers. Fox is starting.
Drama got pulled.
So, like, the first, like, 6 seasons were pulled. Now, the only, like, the stuff that they made for Comedy Central, like, 7 through 10 or whatever, that's all that's left of Futurama on Netflix.
Yep.
Fox is doing it. They're starting their own streaming service. How many of these am I going to have to pay for? I already pay for Netflix. And then my wife is a huge Disney fan. I love Fox, and I love I like all the shows that Fox does. I mean, I don't want to have to pay for all these. HBO has their own service. I'm not paying for that.
They need to come up with some kind of service where you can just get all the different networks' shows and just kind of watch them live at like set times on specific days instead of having to get streaming services from all these different people.
That would make it so much easier.
Stupid.
Yeah.
That'll never sell. No, or we could all just jailbreak our Fire Sticks and hope that Exodus comes back to life.
Yeah. If you're listening, if the government's listening, we don't do that. Hypothetically.
Yeah, we totally wouldn't do that. Hypothetically. Just if we want it to.
And if we did do it, it was just to test it out, and it was a joke. So.
It was a prank.
If you're in the FBI and you are listening, I have some additional details on those three, so just hit me up offline. I'm willing to talk if the price is right.
Sorry, I derailed us for that. But back to the Reds talk. Recently, I think it was over the weekend, Joey Votto hit his 251st home run.
Jovo.
And he became the Great American Ballpark leader in home runs, surpassing Jay Bruce.
Yeah, which is awesome to see because Joey has a lot of power, but he's not a power hitter. So
no,
right.
It's more of a product of longevity, but also just being able to mash when he wants to.
Yeah.
I like this quote, basically scoffing at the idea of Jay Bruce. I forget exactly how he said it, but he essentially was like, well, Jay's not here anymore, so it doesn't matter, or something like that. I forget what he said, and he obviously was joking, because that's just Joey's sense of humor, and he's still great friends with Jay.
Yeah,
right.
But, yeah, it was cool to see. I'm glad to see Vado, just another notch on his belt as far as the Reds Hall of Fame. I mean, there's no doubt he's a Reds Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah.
I think there's no doubt he's going to be a MLB Hall or Baseball Hall of Famer when it's all said and done either.
For sure.
But he may go down as one of the greatest players to ever play that had the fewest MVPs and the lack of postseason success.
Yeah, I mean, he's been pretty under the radar for his entire career. And I think that, I mean, a lot of that has to do with playing in Cincinnati where it's not as big of a market. And,
yeah,
I mean, the team hasn't been that competitive for the bulk of his career. So
right.
I think he's going to suffer from that. But
and I was trying to think of other players like him that, you know, he just people that know baseball know that they're the best player in the game at the time or the best at what they're doing at the time. But aren't getting the notoriety of the Mike Trouts, the now Aaron Judge, the Bryce Harper, those guys. Mm-hmm. I was trying to think of somebody, maybe like Tulo? Dante Bichette or Tulo.
I was going to say anybody in Colorado.
Anybody in Colorado, yeah,
Bichette and Tulo.
Because even when they had good teams, nobody really understood.
Right. Like,
yeah, so pretty much anyone that's ever played in Colorado will say.
Yeah.
There's Joey Votto and the Colorado Rockies from 1998 to 2010.
Yep. Yeah.
That's another one of these things that the Reds are having such a crappy season that you got to look for like the highlights. Like this is like Scooter Gennett and then Joey Votto. That's about it. So Scooter Gennett hitting four home runs and this are kind of the only things that are memorable about the season, except for future Hall of Famer Jesse Winker getting brought up.
That's true. And also, isn't Homer due for another no-hitter soon? So that'll be exciting.
He is.
Yeah.
I want to look and see when Pittsburgh's on the schedule.
Yeah.
I want to say one thing about Jesse Winker. And I don't know if other players do it, but I've noticed he does it. And I think it's just the way his glove fits or the way he's got massive hands. But I'd like to see, I like seeing the batting glove under the glove coming back.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like it, I don't know what it is. I feel like that's kind of dipped a little bit. I mean, why not do it? It looks badass and low extra protection. Not that he's getting line drives hit right at him like you're on the hot corner or anything. But
right.
Do you think he does it because it like protects the sweat in his batting glove so that your glove isn't all greasy when you stick your hand back in it when you go back out in the outfield?
That was
always the worst part about sharing a glove with someone.
When is that you stick your hand.
You stick your hand in there and it's a little, little icky.
Well, I do. I don't know if you guys have been to a game lately, but it's no secret that attendance is down in the MLB. So you see, just like in the pickup baseball nowadays, when guys are swapping in, when they're running into the dugout, they just toss their glove to the other guy at the position from the other team that's coming out. So, I mean, sacrifices are being made
that's
in
right.
major leagues just like they are on playgrounds.
Somehow. Yeah.
Yeah.
I will tell you maybe one day you know, if keeps trending upward with some of the young guys coming up, we might be talking about the Reds as a dream team.
Not likely.
probably not likely.
No.
But that does bring up, you know, I know DB is a huge basketball fan. This is the 25th anniversary of the dream team.
Yeah. The 1992 Barcelona Olympics. It's been 25 years since that. I still remember going to McDonald's to get the little McDonald's cups.
Oh yeah,
in España.
Had to have them.
Yeah,
España.
You know that team was the first time that non-collegiate athletes were allowed to participate in the Olympics, and it's probably the greatest basketball team that was ever assembled.
Yeah.
Besides the Warriors.
Yes, it was the first super team.
Yes.
Ooh, yeah.
Dream team.
Right.
Wait, what year was LeBron born? He's 2 years older than us, right? So he's born in 84, 85?
I'm pretty sure he was born in 84.
December so if he's born in 84, then he was years old.
I hate that I know that.
He was 8 years old in 1992. I'm guessing he played on a select basketball team at some point in his early childhood. That might have been the first super team.
Ooh.
Yeah, probably.
Hot take.
Probably.
I think we're onto something here.
So was the Dream Team basically just trying to mimic LeBron's select team?
Yeah, ooh. LeBron's select team ruined international basketball.
Jesus. That doesn't surprise me.
No, but I like DB, I have fond memories of that dream team. They just, I think it was a product of, one, the NBA being very good at that time. Two, international basketball hadn't quite made the leaps that it has nowadays either.
Yeah.
But three, there were a lot of guys that had probably been itching to represent their country and never had the opportunity.
Right.
Whereas now you see a lot of top-tier guys pass because they would rather spend time rehabbing or rather spend time doing other things. Than,
because
they played on
Zika.
International teams their whole lives when they're growing up. So
another weird thing that we've seen recently is that, like, players that are from the United States that aren't good enough to make the USA team, they will get citizenship in another country and play in the Olympics for that country. Like, Chris Kaman did it a couple years ago for Germany. Right. And I don't think that he's ever lived in Germany. He just wanted to play with one of his other teammates.
I think a first-degree grandparent, a grandparent has to be a natural-born citizen of that country. Or
for you to be
I
able
forget,
to do that.
Or their parents, something like that. Because that came up in the World Baseball Classic, too, where one of the Reds had a guy playing for Israel, I think it was. And they're like, he's not from Israel. He's from Northern California. I forget where he was from. And it was his parents or his grandparents had come over to America.
Gotcha.
And you see that a lot. I think Chris D'Onofrio was the same way with Italy in baseball.
Okay.
Yeah. I think he played. So I think that's how those guys. I don't know what it is for the Olympics, DB, but I remember that happening either in women's soccer or basketball the 1 year, too. The girl, instead, I don't think she had a grandparent, but I think she just moved there for a year. Established residence and then played.
Decided to play for him.
Yeah.
So the Dream Team from 1992, the list of players that are on that team is absolutely ridiculous. 10 of the 11 players on that team are NBA or basketball Hall of Famers. The one player on that team that isn't a Hall of Famer, is Christian Laettner from Duke. And that was right after the Final Four that they won the championship for Coach K.
And he's just not in the Hall of Fame because he's an asshole. When nobody has to vote for him.
Right.
He could probably be in there as a college player because I guess he would be in a different Hall of Fame. But
no, there isn't an NBA Hall of Fame. It's just the Basketball Hall
but
of Fame.
But
I thought
professional
for some reason
basketball?
I thought it was professional and then college. It's all together.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, so he should probably be in for college then.
Is LeBron select team in the Basketball Hall of Fame then?
I think it has to be.
It's got to be.
For a super team.
Is the Hummer that an agent bought him in high school in the Hall of Fame?
Speculation.
Okay.
We're a LeBron cast. That's speculation, sir.
Fuck LeBron.
So I have Michael Jordan's Nike 1992 USA jersey.
Nice.
And, it's one of my favorite jerseys. It's actually in my Twitter profile picture. Is me wearing that jersey. But today the Nuggets released their jerseys and I wanted to get Mac's opinion on the new Nike Nuggets jerseys.
My initial thought was kind of a bummer. I was expecting a complete revamp in their look. It was very similar to the recent jerseys that they've had the last couple years. One thing I did like is they got rid of that cheesy retro light blue color. I like a good retro jersey, but that color it didn't look right.
For some reason, when I think of that color, I always think of Carmelo in a Nuggets jersey. And I think that they started that right as Carmelo was coming into the league. And then I'm glad that they got rid of it because in my head, when I see that color, I'm always like, that's Carmelo on the Nuggets.
Mm-hmm. So now they've got the dark blue, and they're not even called Home and Away anymore. They're, Icon and Association or something like that?
Nah.
Whatever they are. So they've got their white jerseys. I think they look good. I'm hoping that there's each team's going to have four uniforms. They released two. I'm hoping that we get a rainbow uniform.
Yes.
That was what I was hoping for, some sort of variation of that for their main jerseys this year, but
They don't have those stupid sleeves on them.
I think that Nike said they were doing away with that. That was an Adidas thing, and Nike's not touching it.
Not a fan.
No. And none of the players were either.
Right.
Actually, LeBron was a fan. of those because it gave him something to blame.
Yeah.
When he wasn't playing well.
Right.
Exactly.
You have to, he missed a couple shots. He starts tugging on that sleeve. A couple
Didn't
more
he
shots.
Rip him off once?
He cut it.
I thought I remembered him cutting him. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then he looked like trashy kid on the playground that got his shirt ripped playing that race.
Or like Hefe when he cut up his shirts to have sleeveless shirts because he used to think that was cool.
Throwback.
That's a callback.
But overall, it's fine. I'm glad that they didn't do anything stupid.
I'm still waiting for the Lakers jerseys.
Yeah, I would like to see them go back to the Magic era with the drop shadow on the numbers. I like that look. That's a classic look.
And the really short shorts, I hope so.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Reminds me of the big three with Scalabrine.
Yeah,
Scalabrine. He came out, and I couldn't handle his shorts. It was like, good God.
Yep.
It looked like any of us playing basketball. Yep.
Good 4 inches above his knee.
So with Jersey Talk being a small topic on tonight's show, we wanted to do the fantasy draft of our favorite professional jerseys. This is going to be any of the major four sports, correct?
Correct.
Yes. It can be outside of that, too. I mean, anything professional sports.
Oh, well, yeah, so I was going to say, because
Real we'll Madrid. All professional sports.
I would have to take FC Cincinnati off my list if we were only doing the top four.
Best team in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Those iconic jerseys. So for the first pick in the fantasy draft of favorite professional jerseys, Hefe has the pick.
I'm going to stick with the NBA, and I am going to go the black 90s Orlando Magic uniforms.
Okay.
I love that look. I thought it was one of the best jerseys ever.
Yes.
The pinstripes with the black, it just looked so good, and they were so good back then with. And that was Shaq's up and coming, you know.
Shaq and Penny Hardaway when he was at the top of the basketball world.
I used to love watching them play just because of the jerseys.
No, I agree.
And they just were really good too.
I had them on my list too. That was one of my favorite uniforms of all time.
I had the blue pinstripe jerseys from the 90s for them on my list.
Those were solid. Yeah, those were good too.
For them being like an expansion team in the 90s, their jerseys came in.
Oh God!
Smoking
awesome.
Hot, like yeah, they definitely knew what they were doing.
Yeah, you see a lot of expansion teams getting too crazy, too out there, trying to make a splash. But theirs was the right touch of different, but still a wearable jersey for any respectable human being.
Yep. Definitely. Speaking of expansion teams that possibly splash around, my first round pick is going to be some of the original Marlins uniforms.
Oh, nice.
I think in particular one of my favorite ones was the all-white pinstriped with the vest shirts with the teal sleeves poking out the sides.
Yeah.
But really, any of their original uniforms and their hats, too. I love their
the teal hat.
All the variations of their hats. I absolutely hate the uniforms that they have now. I don't know why they went with that. I guess that's
throwing
more,
that orange in there.
Yeah, I think that's more Miami. I mean, I think that's kind of I mean,
they
kind of
go
city.
With the Dolphins color scheme.
Yeah,
being in Miami, I think the Pittsburgh teams all do that really well, where all three of those teams have the same color. I mean, fuck Pittsburgh.
do that really obnoxiously. I wouldn't say they do it really well.
Right.
But yeah, some of those original Marlins teams were some of my favorite baseball uniforms.
Yeah, those were good.
I used
to always like getting the little ice cream helmet bowl with the Marlins.
Yep.
That was always my favorite. Mm-hmm.
All right, with my first pick, I'm going to be a homer. I think the Reds pullover jerseys. They wore them pretty much from the 70s through the very beginning of the 90s.
Yeah.
That is my favorite uniform in baseball probably of all time. I know that pullover uniforms aren't necessarily practical for the major leaguers anymore because they're just cumbersome and they get too baggy and they like them form-fitting. But I really think that they should bring, whenever they decide to revamp their uniforms, which they're probably due for a refresh here sometime soon. They've had these for a while.
Yep.
I hope they go back to something more like that because it didn't have any of the black shadowing on it.
Yeah.
It didn't have any of the weird... So right now the Reds have an old-timey font that I'm pretty sure they never used in the old days.
Right.
I want a very basic, I'm very plain Jane when it comes to uniforms a lot of times.
Yep.
I want
just the plain red numbers on the white jersey with Mr. Redleg in the C on the chest. Put the American flag on the arm and let's play some fucking baseball.
I'd like to see him get rid of the black drop shadow on the C on the hats as well. Yeah. Just go with the white C.
And get rid of the black bill on the road hat.
Yep. But I say that, but I'd be curious to see if that even looks good on one of the new era hats. Like, I feel like that fits the old style hats that they had back then. I can't picture it, I guess, on a modern hat, but I think I would like to see it.
I think it'd be all right, because think about how the Dodgers, theirs is just plain white on the blue, so.
Yep, that's true.
So I think it'd be all right without any sort of border or shading.
Mm-hmm.
It might just look plain, and a lot of people that don't have the nostalgia of those era red uniforms might be like, why are the Reds doing this? But especially when so many people buy MLB hats that have no affiliation with their fandom. Mm-hmm. But the Reds hat, it sells enough in LA with all the Bloods. I think they'll be fine no matter what they do with their hat.
So Mac picked the oldest team in Major League Baseball. And yes. Witt and Hefe both picked expansion teams. I am sticking with the expansion team theme. From the 90s, the Toronto Raptors had the purple dinosaur dribbling on the front of their jersey.
Those were so awesome.
That is probably my favorite jersey of all time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, those were so awesome.
I can picture, like, just, you know, old players that are Marcus Camby running down the court in one of those jerseys. Mm-hmm. The Raptors were terrible in the 90s when they were.
Do they still have those in the Vince Carter days?
Yeah, they had something very similar to that. Yeah. So they wore those from 95 through 99, and Vince was a rookie in 98.
Okay.
So he only got like 2 years of it before they moved on to their newer style.
Right. Sure.
And the ones that they have now are okay, but I wish they had that cartoon dinosaur dribbling on the front of them, but they don't do that anymore.
That was the big look back in those days with the cartoon. You saw that with like the Grizzlies and stuff like that. They were big cartoons on the front of the jerseys.
Yeah.
Like you said, they were bad too, but that was always good for an NBA Jam pick just because of the uniforms.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Even though they were one of the worst teams on there.
Mm-hmm.
So I have my second round pick now wrapping around, and I'm going to go with the Houston Astros Tequila Sunrise jerseys.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Those are my, the Astros, I don't think they were great in the 70s when they wore those, but switching up their look like that definitely put them on the map as someone that I would like to wear that jersey.
Mm-hmm.
All right. For my second pick, I'm going to go NBA. I'm going to go with a team that I don't really like, but I love their uniforms. The Boston Celtics.
Yep.
I love their uniform.
Classic.
Our first couple of years at OU, they essentially had the Boston Celtic uniform. But I liked the uniform before then. It's just a good, green's my favorite color. It's a crisp jersey. There's not a whole lot going on with it. It's classic. It's timeless, really. I mean, they've had the same uniform forever, so.
Yeah, simplicity is key with uniforms. Anytime you get too much going on, it's just, it's a recipe for disaster. And obviously, some of our picks so far have been kind of contradictory to that, obviously, with the,
it's a dribbling
the Raptors
dinosaur
jersey and the, the Tequila Sunrise, too. But if you're going to go that route, you have to do it well. And there's a lot of teams that don't do that well with something like that.
Right.
So,
that's true.
But I think it's hard to screw up simple unless you're just so simple that you look generic. But, yeah, those Celtics uniforms are nice.
Even as a Lakers fan, I had the Celtics on my list as one that I would have picked because they are iconic.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a little bit surprised that this one hasn't been taken yet, but I'm glad that it hasn't. My second round pick is going to be the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim, back when they had the actual style uniforms from the Disney movie, back before Disney took the rights away.
Yeah, simplicity is key.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I know. I'm in the same boat as you. I think you and I are the exact same thought process on uniforms. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And honestly, if it weren't for the movies, I probably wouldn't really care much for those uniforms.
Right.
But because of the movies and how iconic they are, those are probably some of my favorite hockey jerseys of all time.
And they were way better than the Hendrix USA ones.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with another classic. I had upset one of our loyal listeners a couple weeks ago with my bad talk about this organization. I'm going to say the Dallas Cowboys. One of the most iconic jerseys in football. To Mac and Witty's point, it's a very simple jersey. It hasn't changed a lot over the years. They've done some variations on like alternates, but just the classic.
That star on the helmet.
Star on the helmet, yeah. The silver helmet. Really, the white or the blue look sharp. But I think all of us were either Cowboys or Niner fans growing up.
Niners.
Because of Jerry Rice and Emmitt Smith.
Jerry Rice.
Yep.
God, they had so many good battles, you know, back when we were kids, and just those Cowboy uniforms drew me to the Cowboys so early when I was a kid.
Talk about the simplicity of the Cowboys uniforms, but if you look at it, there's actually a lot of, I guess, weird quirks about it. I mean, you look at the different shades of blues and grays and silvers, and I think they got the different colored pants between the white jerseys and the blue.
And then the helmets.
Yeah, it's a lot more complex than you really think. And I remember I'm a sucker for anything UniWatch on ESPN, and I think one time they had an article just detailing every single little nuance of the Cowboys jerseys that you don't really notice, and that kind of thing just absolutely fascinates me.
Mm-hmm. Two things about their uniforms that fascinate me is, one, they always had the jerseys, and I think it's been gone since Nike took over, but their jerseys almost tie into their shoulder pads, the front.
Mm-hmm.
Like they somehow lace them through, and you didn't see other teams do that.
Yeah.
And the other thing is on their helmet, they all have their names in those old school, like, punch label maker.
Yeah.
So it's not like an electronic label maker. It's like you have the blue strip of plastic and you punch it with the letter, move on to the next one, punch it. And they've got that. That's how they've got their name on the back of their helmet. To determine whose helmet it is, the organization that lives in the billion-dollar Jerry World Stadium is using something that is probably the same machine that they bought for $20 back in the 70s.
Yeah. Yep.
It's weird. Their last name's all Riddell.
It's strange.
Yeah.
Spent all their money on the cocaine in the 90s. There you go, Ben.
So wrapping it around with my last pick, I'm going to contradict what Mac was saying. I'm going to stick with the home team, but I'm going to go with the sleeveless Reds uniform that they brought back in the 93 season with Larkin. And I'll go white or black, but that's my favorite, by far my favorite Reds uniform of all time.
Did they have black uniforms?
They had black pinstripe, didn't they? Or was it gray?
It was gray. I was just giving you a hard time.
Gotcha. For those of you who don't know, I'm a very big fan of black uniforms.
Yeah.
So. You are. My favorite of all time was the Larkin. I always wanted a Larkin sleeveless with the black sleeve shirt underneath.
Yeah.
I always thought that was an awesome
look. No, that was a fine look. I don't dislike it. I just wish they would go back to they're the Reds. They're not the.
It was a little flashy. Yeah. It was a little flashier than they usually do. Yeah.
Hey Hefe, remember when you bought that trash Larkin jersey?
Yeah, my regular gray Reds jersey with the Larkin on the back.
Yeah, that thing was garbage.
It was pretty bad.
Straight from China.
So for my last pick, I'm having a little bit of a tough time because there's a lot that I want to throw in here. I've got five or six on my mind all just from the NFL.
That's why we have honorable mentions where we can just talk about this. Yeah. So.
Yep. So I'm going to go with the Rams uniforms when they had the royal blue and the bright yellow.
Yeah.
Back before they went with that gold and blue shit in the Greatest Show on Turf days. I don't know. There's just something about those uniforms that are awesome to me. And I like them with the yellow pants, too, not with the white pants. I don't think it looks as good with the white pants. And I wasn't a fan of their uniforms back before they incorporated the yellow either, when they just had the white stripes and
which
the white
is what
horns.
They're going back to now, I think, just the right. blue and the white.
Yep, which yeah. I don't really like that. I wish they would go with the blue and the yellow
yep.
and stick with that.
I agree.
I think they went with that for some throwback uniforms in recent years, but because of the helmet rules, I think they had to keep the gold stripes on the helmets, didn't they?
No, they went yellow stripes.
No,
because
those are just a decal, right?
Yeah, they went yellow decals, but the blues are different.
Yeah, that's right.
So the blues didn't match the jerseys.
Yep. Yeah.
That's
Which
a good
one
choice.
Of those things that would annoy me.
Yeah. Yep, I agree there. Oh, man. I'm the same way with you right now. I've got a couple. I'm going to go with probably the most crisp-looking jersey in all of pro sports. And this is very specific to the version of their jersey, the Raiders white away jersey.
Yes.
I love that look. I don't know what it is, the way that white bounces off of the silver pants and then topped with the silver helmet. I love that look. It doesn't help that they play on a field that is shared with the baseball team. So any of their early season games when it's too hot out and they're wearing the white uniforms at home, they end up being brown and silver because they're rolling around in the mud. But
yep.
but no, it's such a good look. And I saw them play live a couple of different times wearing those white uniforms. And
yeah,
I mean, I love that look.
And that's one of my favorite looks that for my favorite college football team as well. Obviously, I'm a big Buckeyes fan. I like that white jerseys with the silver helmets and silver pants. I think that's a great combo. But the Raiders in general, I mean, I think they have great uniforms. I like their black jerseys, too.
Yeah, those are good looking, too.
Yeah.
And again, that goes back to the, you know, it's hard to mess up simple.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So for the very last pick of the draft, I don't have as many honorable mentions as you guys. So
I have a ton.
It's pretty easy for me to just pick the Chicago Bulls black pinstripe.
Yeah, that's good.
Ooh.
Oh my black God. I like their white and red ones too. They're just a plain.
These are strictly from the Jordan era. Yep. Like I don't know that they wear them anymore. Mm-mm. But they're a black jersey with red pinstripes.
Yeah,
and
awesome.
Yeah, the Jordan wore them a couple times. He wore them most with the 11s that season that they won the championship. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why I like them so much. But the Bulls black pinstripes is what I'm going with for the last pick of the draft.
That's a solid one to end on.
Yep. So yeah, like I said, I've got a handful of honorable mentions.
So do I. Yep.
And I'll kind of just throw them all into one category because I think most of them come from the same era. But basically any 90s NFL uniform, the ones that stand out to me are the Falcons uniforms when they had the red helmets for a little bit of time.
Nice.
The Cunningham era Eagles uniforms, back before they had too much of the kind of the black trim and everything.
Yeah.
Just
you mean
simple...
the Mike Golick era Eagles uniforms.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah.
And then same area, the Jets uniforms where they just had the Jets across the helmet with the solid green helmets.
Yep.
And then the Broncos, I think, from that era too, were another
Those
one.
Were good.
So just the...
I went with some of the throwback NBA jerseys that I was surprised didn't get called. The Charlotte Hornets teal.
Those are good.
Yeah.
Jerseys. Yeah, that is good.
Was one of the ones I thought of. The Supersonics were always a favorite jersey of mine.
You mean the Thunder?
Yeah, the Thunder.
Yeah.
I was the 70s Chargers jersey, the powder blues with the white helmet.
I do like the white helmet look.
Yeah.
I was always a huge fan of those.
Mm-hmm.
And then my last one was, and Mac had kind of mentioned the animation on the jerseys, the throwback Grizzlies jersey was always a favorite of mine. So,
yeah. Let me do mine real quick, Mac, and then I'll throw it to you to end
good.
This. So I can't believe that you didn't say it, Mac, but the Nugget Skyline jerseys with the rainbows.
That's on my honorable mention.
That's a great jersey.
Yep.
That's classic.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
No one named a hockey sweater, but I am going to throw out there the Chicago Blackhawks.
Ugh.
Nope.
We wouldn't have done it.
It's
nope.
iconic.
I
mean, it's the easiest, simple design, as Witty likes.
No, they got too much flair with their little feathers in the... Nope, that's ugly.
Okay, we're going down an ugly road here. We got to...
Yeah.
And then no one said Yankees pinstripes.
Now that John Smith is done ranting about Chicago, I'm going to...
Well, I want to correct DB. I did pick a hockey sweater, actually. I picked the Mighty Ducks.
Oh, you picked the Ducks. Oh. You're right. My bad.
And I also... Wow. Okay, so going back to the old school Vancouver Canucks where they just had the C with the... No, not those.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to talk about the...
They had the, like, that block C where
with the hockey stick in it.
The hockey stick in it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I was going to say the New York Rangers uniforms, but until Rick apologizes, I can't put them on my list. So, yeah, on my honorable mention, I did have the Nuggets Skyline uniform. I love that jersey. I hope they bring back some sort of variation on that one. A lot of pinstripes in the list. The Pacers pinstripe uniforms from the Reggie Miller era.
Think about those.
Nice.
Those were good. A jersey that I was nervous that got picked, but I also think they fly under the radar because they're such trash as an organization and a team. But the Washington Redskins.
Yeah.
That's a nice classic uniform that's never really changed. It looks good. I don't really care for burgundy or whatever they call their yellow, probably gold or something. I don't really care for either of those colors separately, but they work out together. And then I wasn't sure if this classified as a pro team or not. It had a couple pro players on it. Well, one pro player. Toon Squad. since we've been talking a lot about super teams. You got to think
that
they're
more the Monstars, man.
Yeah.
Monstars. The Monstars are... whatever team LeBron creates next.
Yeah.
Because obviously the Warriors, even though a lot of people are turning on them, are the good guys.
I'm actually a big fan of the Warriors uniforms.
Yeah
those
the,
are
the city with the Bay Bridge.
Not the Antoine Jameson ones.
No.
Those were garbage.
Those were horrible.
Yeah. One last pro team that I forgot that has amazing uniforms is Alabama football. They have great classic simple uniforms. Yeah. Helmet numbers on the helmets. You can't go wrong with that.
Right.
So.
Can't really go wrong with that. Well, something else you can't go wrong with is following us on Twitter at Milliron Sports. Thanks for checking us out today. Be sure to check us out on Facebook as well. Facebook.com/Milliron Sports. Please subscribe to the podcast. Millions of people are doing it, so it's not that big a deal if you do, but just do it so you're not left out. Leave us a review. We only see the 5-star one, so if you have anything bad to say about us, it's got to be in a 5-star review.
Feel free to roast Hefe in the review.
Yeah. All of our DMs are always open. So if you got anything that you like about the show but don't want to make it public, hit us in our DMs on Twitter. Our individual Twitters are all available in the Milliron Sports Twitter bio. And check us out on the website, like the millions of people a day that do, at MillerandSports.com, where you can get our daily blogs, the happenings of the world, me putting a little leaguer to shame for probably taking steroids, Witty's Ohio State countdown, DB's happenings in the world of sports, and Hefe's Raw recaps. Thanks for checking us out.
Send nudes.